sa vole, ale veto, che ne usata man hosea, ale vede ande, che te pet, da sia, ale veto, ye, yes, o te, sing a new song to the Lord, sing a new song to the Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. We worship you. Gracia la magia, elo se vore. Arravale de da barando, arravasete. Oh, we surrender all to you. All our problems all to you. Any burden on us, we surrender to you, Lord. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We worship you. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to our God. Glory, glory, glory to our Savior. Oh, we worship you. Jesus, we worship you. We magnify you. Oh, we praise you, Lord. 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 We praise you in harmony. We praise you in harmony.
We humble ourselves in your presence.
Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Just keeps coming out. If you can't sing anything else, sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. Worship
you. Get the right pitch.
We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Father God.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Praise you, Father God. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Father God. We worship you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I humbly bow myself before you, Father God.
Get the right pitch.
Oh, hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Father God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, for your presence. Oh, I thank you so much for your presence.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
As keep hearing, they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That doesn't mean just a testimony, but the word of God. And they, you know, a lot of times this is skipped, this part. And they loved their lives, even unto the death.
Betcha.
Sorry. But I see what's going on in the United States. And, you know, I mean, the stuff, you don't even hear it on the media, what's really going on. It's evil. Very, very evil. And Satan's trying to take over, but he won't, and he can't. But if you were faced, I mean, like they're trying to destroy the city of Portland, Oregon. Yeah. I used to live there for a little while when I was first married. But what would you do if you are faced with it? I'm not even going to say the names of the organizations, but I know that some of the organizations are being paid to riot in cities, and they said they're going to get every major city in every state. So how close are we to Omaha?
Yeah.
I mean, what if you are faced with that? Mm-hmm. You love out your lives to the death.
Yeah. Big one.
We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah. And the word of our testimony. And we will have supernatural protection. But what if it's a matter of your talking about God?
Come on.
Or your Christianity. I mean, people are being faced with it. I've never ever seen this in my life like this. This is different. And that's why God is... You know, we got to prepare ourselves.
Better be.
We got to get to the highest we can.
Yes,
we said we surrender it all. Huh? Surrender everything that's of you.
Yeah.
You know, that's bothering you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not always easy to do. But when you're faced with a crisis, you know, I think about people, and even in a flood, and the flood waters are coming, and there's no, I mean, there's gonna, their house is going to go. You know, maybe they're on the roof already.
Yeah.
And you know what? Can you really surrender all? Can you? Yeah, you have to. We have to get stronger, strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Yep. So, everything that... You know, and some of it's me, it's all about me, it's my problems, me. It's everything that I'm hurting about all the time. What about other people?
Right.
What about other
reach
things? And
right.
You know what? Do you really? I surrender it all.
Come on.
Oof.
Come on.
A few things happened before church and tried to attack me a little bit. And I have to surrender it. Because I'll tell you what, you can say no weapon, but the devil is mad.
Oh, yes,
when you pray, and we had really, I know we were doing something at prayer this morning, and I'll tell you what, immediately, be ready. He's going to try to attack you.
Yeah,
that's right.
Jealousy comes in from people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Strife, division, he'll try to do it if you're not ready. You got to be ready. And I am not kidding you. I've encountered that so many times.
Yep.
So many times.
Mind, will, and emotion.
Or just something to make you remember hurt. You got to cast that down.
Yes,
you got to be ready in this time and in this era. Ready and to really look at the Lord like never before. Get me out of the way. Well, yeah. Okay, well, you can be seated. We're going to receive the tithes and offerings. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even to the death. We usually just say the first two.
Yeah.
It's not so easy always to say, I love not my life to the death. Okay, well. You know, we all know Psalm 23. And the first part of it says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. But you know what? You know, we say, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Yeah, I know the whole thing about it. But you could just blab it off.
Yeah.
You know what? One time I said, Lord, I just want to do this with meditation. The Lord. And then he said to me, if you don't make me Lord,
come on,
I can't be your shepherd.
No.
Yeah.
Do you ever think of that?
Sure.
If he's not your Lord, he can't be your shepherd.
Amen.
I said that once in church here when there was somebody new, and they said, that's not right. They said it out loud, so I heard them. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
But it's the truth. He told me that. But can't you see that? How can he be your shepherd?
Yeah.
If you're doing something it wouldn't be.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. And if he's really my Lord, then he'll sheep herd me. And I shall not want.
Yeah.
Because actually, even me as a shepherd, that's what I'm supposed to do. You know, sometimes there's a lot on my mind. And I can't socialize with everybody. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Because it would take up all my time, and I study and study and study and study. Study.
Yeah.
And there's other things. I got, you know, 9 grandchildren and 4... 4 kids and stuff. And I want to sometimes do stuff, too. But I'm saying that for a reason, because I think some people here, and my personality is different than some people's. You got to always realize that. And I think people get a little peeved at me. I can tell.
Yeah, Jesus, too.
You know, there's been around for a while.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't know why I said that. I think I needed to, though. But it says, he will supply you, in other words.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing. And when he's your shepherd, he will make you to lie down in a green pasture.
Yeah.
Green means life.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
The color green actually means life. And so, I mean, it could be you're lying down in green money. I don't know how long they're talking about a cashless society already. This is all the New World Order trying to get in. But anyway, he leads me beside still peaceful waters to refresh your soul. You know, one time the Lord showed me, you know, the names of Jesus, Jehovah, you know, Rohi. That is my shepherd. But Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Jehovah Jireh, my provider.
Yeah.
You know, Jehovah Rapha, my healer.
Yeah.
Jehovah Skidnu, my, if I pronounce that right, my righteousness.
Yes.
Jehovah Shammah, he never leaves you or forsakes you. Jehovah Makedesh, he sanctifies you and puts you apart. But see, every one of these are in Psalm 23. He showed me where they were, and I wrote, it's all written up in here. But anyway, he will restore your soul. You know, we've been talking about your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. He will restore it, but you have to let him restore it. He leads you in a path of righteousness. Look at that, though. It says, for his name's sake. For his name's sake.
Come on.
Now, yea, though I walk through, and in the Amplified it says, the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death. Do you know where that is?
Uh-huh.
It's the earth.
Yeah.
I will fear no evil.
Come on, amen.
Woo, is that appropriate now?
Yeah.
Amen.
For his rod and his staff, They comfort me. You know what his rod and his staff is? His word and the spirit of the living God. Rod and his staff. It's the word and the spirit. The word and the spirit. And just like there was a Jesus movement way back, charismatic movement, a healing movement, all those, there is a word and an era, this era that we are in. We're in an era of the church. And it's the word and the spirit. The word, not just one. How, now, I don't know if I'm going to say this. You're going to have to help. All word and you dry up. Now listen to me. All word and you dry up. All, okay. All spirit and you blow up.
That's right.
Word and spirit, you grow up. I always thought that was good. But it's got to be a balance and a combination. You know, he is with us all the time, right there. There is, there's Jehovah Shammah. And his rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know who that is? Familiar spirits. They're watching us to do something wrong so they can, we can give them a door opened to attack us. Do you know that? They're there, just like the angels are there. You anoint my head with oil. The anointing, the burden removing, yoke destroying, devil crushing, mountain moving power of God, and my cup will run over. That's abundance. Abundance, abundant health, abundant wealth, abundant happiness, abundant joy. You know what? That's what he wants to do, right? Abundance. You got abundance, right? Some of you didn't have abundance, and I'm seeing you got abundance. Woohoo! You got to just think where you came from. And it says, surely goodness, absolutely goodness. And mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You know what? Here they are. You're walking down the street. Oh, hi, goodness. Hi, mercy. Hey, come on, let's go. They're following you. They're running after you. And I will dwell in the house of my Lord forever. But you know what? You are the house of the Lord if you are born again. Anyway, I wanted to do all that for just for tithes and offerings. Okay, and I'm just going to tell you this before. Are you going to get ready to pick it up? Okay. Well, we're going to say this. I'm going to say a prayer here. Okay, let's... let's stand up with it first. Everybody's. So, Father God, I recognize you as the Most High God.
I recognize you as the Most High God.
Possessor of heaven and the earth.
Possessor of heaven and earth.
And my deliverer from my enemies.
And my deliverer from my enemies.
Just think what it's saying. Jesus, you are the Lord and High Priest of my confession. So I take this tithe or offering.
Take that tithe and offering.
And I worship you with it. And we declare that the devourer is stopped. And the windows of heaven are open for me. Bringing God's full desire and blessing. And we choose to operate in God's wisdom in every area of our life. We live according to God's word. So whatever I do is going to prosper. The Lord will bless the work of my hands. And now, you gave us authority, Lord. And we exercise that authority right now. Over the kingdom of darkness. And we say to poverty and lack and debt. They are bound in the name of Jesus. And we lose abundance and God's prosperity. Because we choose to align ourselves with you, Lord. With your word. For we are blessed by you. To be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? You can, for about 2 weeks, we were talking about emotions and how they, you know, the soul, the mind, will, and emotion, your chooser, your thinker, your feeler. And part of the reason, okay, because I've got notes for a series in this, but part of the reason we were doing this, okay, we're here to prepare you for what's out there. We're here to prepare you for the coming of the Lord. We're here to prepare you to be able to counteract what's out there.
Exactly.
Okay, so anyway, what we're going to, and I'm going to go back on it. I'm not going to do it today because the Lord changed it. And I had notes and I studied. And he changed it. In fact, I got 4 sermons up here, but I really know what to do. I do have 4 of them up there. And one's on angels, one's on emotions, one's on healing. One's on the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And that's what he told me to do. Because it's a tool. So is healing a tool, and we will get to the healing.
Yeah.
Now, for 5 years, way back in the old church, we taught healing every Sunday night.
Yes, we did.
For 5 years. And man, were we seeing results.
Amen.
People all over the place.
Yep.
Well, no, God just took it a different place because you can't stay on one thing. You know, faith, too, is another one. But you got to go back to basics. Keith Moore, yeah, he does it for 13 times, but it's a series. And then he'll all of a sudden, oh, I'm so excited. God gave me a new series to start. And then, no, I've listened to him a lot. He'll have 14 CDs. Yeah, and faith. I'll tell you, faith never stops. Faith evolves into every one of these. You can't even receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without faith. But it is a tool for these last days to pray when you don't know how to pray in English. And it is a tool against the enemy because you're praying what God wants you to pray and doing warfare sometimes. Okay. Sometimes you are. Sometimes it's just, you know, well, that anyway. So all those things are tools, but you got to have those tools so that you for these last days to prepare for the coming of the Lord, to prepare for what's out there. Huh. Okay. Now, this is how he told me to do it. Salvation, getting born again, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are two separate experiences. The reason I'm going to tell you all this is maybe there are people who are going to refute you out there about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you're going to get some stuff, some answers to give them because I was encountered 26 years ago, terribly persecuted for it. I could tell you all kinds of stories, even by the neighbors. But not only by them, other people in town, by pastors and all kinds of stuff for that. Okay. Now, the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. It's a precious, holy gift. And it's the greatest gift besides Jesus, right? And God the Father. But they're all one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one. Okay. So let's go to Acts
I'm trying to think where to start here. Go to Acts 1. Yep, we'll get to it. I need to give you all this to okay. Yeah. In fact, in my Bible, I'll give you a little hint. We were in prison ministry for 7 years, way back in the 80s. And this guy that was in prison ministry with us, he's in heaven now. But he said, you know, a good thing to do is to start where you want to start in explaining the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Get that scripture, put it in the front of your Bible, and then when you go to it, put the next scripture that you need. And then that scripture, the next scripture, and the next scripture. That's a good way to do it.
It
really is. I am not starting where I should, though, today for different reasons, though. Okay, so it says, let's see, we're going to go to Acts 1:4. Let's go to the King James because it's more accurate. Okay. And being assembled together with them. He commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Who are we talking about? Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus was talking to his disciples. And this okay. They said that it says the former treaties that it was a treaties, O Theophilus, and it was Paul who wrote the book of Acts, they think. Okay, so he says, we were assembled with them, commanded them that they should not depart. Jesus said this to him, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he has said, he heard of me. There's just something, I think I'm making an error about who wrote it.
I think, yeah.
Luke wrote it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. All of a sudden, I lost it. Sometimes you get up here and you get a little nervous. And you go, I know that. But it's Luke. I know it's Luke. That's why I'm hesitating so much. Okay, I'm on a roll now. Hey, it's the truth. You stand up here sometime. It says, for John truly baptized with water, but you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jump to verse 8. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto me in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. You shall be a witness to for the Lord Jesus Christ, to Cedar Bluffs, to Arlington, to all the little towns around, to Dodge, Scribner, Hooper, Howells, Clarkson, all those places, even in Omaha. Amen? It makes you more of a witness, you see, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now jump to Acts 2, verse 32. And it says, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we were all witnesses. Luke was a witness of it. And therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, that's where Jesus is now, right?
Yes. Amen.
You got verse 32 and 33.
Yeah.
And having received of the Father the promise. The promise. That's a key word. Of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which we now see and hear. All right. Now, notice Acts 1, 5 and 8. Jesus spoke of the promise of the Holy Ghost. That's the body of Christ, the born again believers. All right. And in Acts 2, now let's go to verse 38 in Acts 2. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins. Now get this. No. Water baptism does not make you sins go away. Amen. Jesus says blood makes your sins go away. Amen. You can't tell me you could just throw water on somebody and that makes them born again. No. It's Jesus' blood.
Amen.
He said, first they repent, then you're baptized.
Amen.
Not the order of your baptism, because I hear at funerals all the time. You get baptized, you got it made. And you watch those people's lives. They drink, they smoke, they steal. You can't tell me they're born again. Something is wrong. No. I've same denomination I came from. They said that. Now, I don't care what I... Anyway, it's the Word of God. Yeah. And there's more proof than the one I just, you know. But first, you repent for your sins. You ask that you receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. It says, as many, I was talking to somebody the other day from the denomination I was, I said, nobody ever told me I had to receive Jesus in my heart. It's in John 1, verse 12. As many as received Jesus, received me, Jesus said this, that will receive me, to them give I the power and authority to become my sons and daughters. They you have to receive him. Nobody told me that. Nobody. But they didn't know any better themselves. So I don't say, oh, they were so... Don't, no. I pray for them that the eyes would be opened up, because they didn't learn it in cemetery. I mean, no, at that time I really did say it.
It just flew out of the box of heart and mouth speaks.
In seminary, you can have doctorates behind your name. And if you don't know Jesus, that's a bunch of intellectual stuff. It's all intellect. That's why they have big conventions and they can't figure out why. You know, Jesus wrote in the sand. He was waiting for the Father. You know what? When the first time I read that as a born again Christian, he said, I was waiting for my Father to tell me what to say. When the woman was caught in adultery, he was saying, I wasn't going to say anything until I could say it with such an impact.
Yeah.
And he says, those of you who have never sinned, cast the first stone.
Uh-huh.
And they all went, ugh. And they walked away. Well, if he would have said it, he was waiting for his Father. See, it says Jesus never did anything, never healed anybody, or said anything unless he heard his Father tell him to say it. Can you imagine that? If we could live that way, we got it made. We're supposed to get that way. Okay, well, that's a way of going on a rabbit trail. But, so the Holy Spirit is a person.
Yes, amen.
And in John 14:16, and you could put it up there, but he said, I will, we better turn there.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do this quickly though. And I will pray to the Father, Jesus' words, and he'll give you another comforter.
Yeah.
Another one like me.
Yeah.
That's what he was, because he's walking with them on the earth.
Sure.
That he may abide with you forever. And then the next verse says, he is the Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you, and he will be in you.
Yeah.
And then he says, I won't leave you comfortless. The Holy Spirit, as soon as you get born again, Well, we'll get to that. Because we want to show you the difference between that, the salvation, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and there is a difference. So when we receive Him, we receive the third person of the Godhead and not an it. And some of the versions say it. He is a real person. Okay. Now, the fullness or the infilling of the Holy Ghost is not for sinners, but for believers. You got to be born again first. And I just read it. John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him. And all of you who are born again, you should know Him. He dwells in you and He'll be in you. Now the world, and this is important for you when you go, when you go out there and try to get people baptized in the Holy Ghost, this is important for you to know.
Yes, it is.
It's important for you to know this.
Yes, it is.
Because I'll tell you what, I've had this stuff thrown in my face. That's why I studied it. So the world cannot receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The world can receive eternal life, though. They can receive John 3:16. Jesus. They can receive Jesus, right? Because Jesus is God's gift to the world, and they can receive Christ as their Savior. But you have to be born again before you can receive the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it is not a gift to the world, it's a gift to the believer. And it is separate. Okay, do you have all of the Holy Ghost you're ever going to have when you get born again?
No.
I've had people from churches in town fight with, they tried to, I just dropped it. Because I'm not going to argue with them. Well, I got all the fullness of the Holy Ghost, You know, because they knew I was filled. Now, when you're born again, you do have the Holy Ghost because there's a work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth, okay? I can tell you, I didn't go over these, but good. Okay, now. You all know John. Well, let's go there. John 3:3. Yeah. You must be born again. We're in the book of John anyway. John 3:3.
Come on.
Jesus said this.
He did.
And Nicodemus, he was saying, what? And he met Jesus in the night because he was a Pharisee, and he was afraid that the Sanhedrin would kick him out if they knew that he was talking to Jesus. Jesus answered, he says, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher from God, and no man can do these miracles except God. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he will never see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The word water there does not mean baptism or sprinkling. The word water there means the Word. It means the Word. All right, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said you got to be born again. It's, you know what I put, we must be. It's the only way. Just like the wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it came from, where it goes, so is everyone born of the Spirit. You get born of the Holy Spirit. Do you look any different? No. Maybe, you know, whatever. So it is the Holy Spirit who imparts eternal life to the unregenerate spirit of a sinner. You become a new creation. A new creation. It's the Holy Spirit who recreates the sinner's spirit and makes him a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, you become so new that you actually belong to a new country. You belong to a new kingdom, and that kingdom is the only one that won't be destroyed in the whole wide world. Just remember that. You actually belong, you're a citizen of a new country. One that's never going to get destroyed. I just keep going because it says you have a citizenship in heaven. And the set, not only that, Colossians 1:13 says, the second you're born again, you're translated from the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, into the kingdom of God. But if you don't know that, you'll let I've done it too. You'll let him come in, the enemy. You know, but you've got to say, one time I said to him, wait a minute, if I'm translated from the kingdom as soon as I get born again, how come you're able to do this to me? And boy, did I take authority over him. Amen. And the sickness that I had left. Now, I haven't always been that way, but okay. The reason we were even getting into the emotions, because you're not going to be able to be emotional about what's going on in the world unless you're interceding.
That's right.
Then let it rip. Uh-huh. If you go, oh, shut up, Akuda, which has happened to me a lot lately. Yeah. But is that emotions stop your authority over the devil.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
The wrong emotions will stop your authority over the devil. And that's why we are going to continue talking to him. We're going to get into the area of authority. I don't think I said that before. Okay, so it's the Holy Spirit who bears witness with the spirit of the born-again one that he's a child of God. But see, this is not the same as the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you, and you will be witnesses. See, the endowment of power comes from on high. And even though the Holy Spirit is present in the life of a believer, Jesus illustrated the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation in John 4:14. Now, this is where we usually start if you explain it to somebody. John 4:14. I've done this before, okay? Jesus was talking to the woman by the well.
Yeah.
And he said, whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. When you get born again, you honestly have everlasting life in you.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's like a well. A well doesn't bubble or doesn't imbibe, but it doesn't flow. It doesn't flow. Okay?
Yep.
It's there.
It's stagnant.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, you'll never thirst if you get me. You know, that's what he was telling her. And it's good. You got to get born again. I mean, we're not putting that down. So it's a work of the Holy Spirit in salvation is inward, and it's like a well of water. Because a well does not flow. Go to John 7. That's the next one. 37.
Follow you.
239. Yep. And this is Jesus' words again. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, and he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink.
Come on.
He that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
Now look at verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified.
Exactly.
He hadn't gone to the cross. So, but he was talking about rivers of living water, which characterized the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You see, it's a river of overflow of the Spirit, and it flows out of you to others to make them free. And you know, there's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit too. And I know this one time this lady said, this pastor, in fact, Mike Keyes, she is Mike Keyes' pastor. And she's 90 almost now. She's still pastoring. And she said it was, the Lord showed her, it was like little canoes flowing out of you, and each one was a different gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So sometime we have to go over those too. We've done a lot of that in the past. Okay, now, the initial experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Yes, it is. The supernatural language of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people say, and I've had this said right to my face more than once, speaking in tongues is of the devil. You know what? It's the same Holy Spirit in the new birth as it is in the infilling. So if it's of the devil, then so is salvation. Go to Luke 11. Luke 11, 11. Now, this would be easy to remember. This is how you refute it. Luke 11, 11. So, if Wyatt and Hezron, when they get a little older, if they ask, you know, Lonnie and Tony for a piece of bread, and if I'll slap you if you give him a snake. It says, if a son asks bread of a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks about a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? You wouldn't do that, right? Oh. I should have put Tom in there. Now, if you then being evil, and I mean, he's not telling you you're evil, but we are not quite as good as God, right? No, I mean, far from it. Okay, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen?
Amen.
See, God is not the father of everyone. He is the father of those who have been born again and recreated in his image and likeness. In John 8:44, just remember that too. Jesus said, he said to the pastors of the time. Now, they were the pastors of the churches in Jerusalem. You are of your father, the devil. Whoo! God is the father, not of the whole world. You know those songs they sing? God is the Father only of those who are born again. God the Father then gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that the world cannot receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but God does have a gift for the world, and it's the gift of salvation. I repeat that. Okay. Now, go to Mark 2, 21 and 22. Now, no man, it says, sews a piece of new cloth on an old garment. Else the new piece that filled it up takes away from the old, and the tear or the rent is made worse. Have you ever done that? I mean, or it looks like on a pair of jeans, it looks goofy. Yeah, I've done it. Yeah, man, when we were kids, it was, okay. no man, and so, you know, they had to put wine, they put wine as they traveled into old bottles. And no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottle, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. Yeah. But new wine must be put into new bottles. Yeah. So Jesus said, no man puts new wine in an old bottle. Back then, people used animal skins, you know, as bottles to hold wine. Sure. Now, they could use those skin bottles for a short time because if they let them lay longer than a year, the skin would dry up and crack on that. Then if new wine was put in them, the skin bottles would burst. In Scripture, wine is a type of the Holy Ghost. God couldn't give the Holy Ghost in His fullness to a person unless he was made a new creation and his sins are washed away. Jesus said, if you put new wine in old wineskins, the wineskins will burst. So if, honest to God, if you put the Holy Ghost like that in the fullness into people who had not been born again, you would burst. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? They would not be able to contain Him. No. A person must become a new creation, a new creature, before he can be filled with the new wine. Yeah. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is a good one. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away in His spirit. Behold, all things become new.
Hallelujah.
You know, now see, I had somebody in school too, because I had all kinds of denominations there. And this mother, she said to me, she said, well, our spirits are healed. No, they're not healed. You totally become a new creation. When you get born again, totally new. You're a different person belonging to a different country. Yeah, you're a citizen of the United States, but you're a citizen of a higher country, and it's heaven. Okay, so, and I remember Kenneth Hagin said, he said it would be just like if you had a big sore on your nose. He said if that got healed, he said, would you get a new nose?
No.
You would just, it would go away. Except maybe some of us want a new nose. But anyway, but you become, now if your nose was recreated, it was recreated and you'd have a new nose. You know what I mean? But healing is different. Your body that you have is healed. You know, unless, well, you can get new bone and stuff. But when you have been made a new creation, you are ready to be filled with the new wine, which is the Holy Spirit. See, you know what? God made that provision for you, for your spirit to be recreated. You know what? Put up the spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is black and your father is the devil. I don't care how nice you are. I was nice too, but my father was the devil. I look back on it. So, before you're born again, that's how, see, you're a three-part being. You are a spirit. You have a soul which has to be renewed with the Word of God. Once you get born again, or you don't know nothing.
No, you do not.
Seriously, you don't.
Nope.
And you'll act just like you always acted in the world. You got to renew your mind with what this says. And that's, that mind thing is your spirit. I mean, yeah, your mind, which is your intellect, your thinker, your will, which is your chooser, and your emotions, which is your feeler. But that has to be renewed with the Word of God. The second, I can't even snap my finger as fast as you would, this happens. What happens when you get born again?
Turns to light.
God comes in to live inside of it. This is extremely important.
Yes, it is.
Now, the reason he even does this, he is preparing your spirit to receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost. So you can flow out to other people.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what? It was intended for all men. Religion perverts that. It was intended for all men. I've also heard this. Not everybody gets it. That's a bunch of baloney. Everybody can have it. Everybody. And that's the reason in the new birth, he recreates our human spirit so he can fill us with the new wine of the Holy Spirit. Our sins are wiped out by the blood of Jesus, and we are prepared. Okay, now we got to realize this. All right, so now we're going to show you, I could show you all of this from Acts, but I know we wouldn't have time today, but we'll show you one of them. Go to Acts 8, verse, we're going to read 5 through 8. You know what? It'd be good to keep reading the book of Acts. Because you know what? As the church of the living God, and when this revival hits, we're going to finish the book of Acts. But the Holy Spirit is a huge tool. Okay, Acts 8, verse 5. Now it says, now, let's see, let's go into the Amplified this time. What happened was Saul, who became Paul, he was persecuting Christians so badly, he was killing them. What happened then to the church? They kept staying in Jerusalem. And you know, it said they were supposed to go out. I give you power to witness to Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts. They weren't doing it. They were actually just staying there. And then Saul started to persecute the church. And what happened was that they all started to scatter. And they scattered to different places. But you know what the devil meant for bad? Turned around for good, because they all started to witness to people. Okay, so now Philip, a deacon. You know what a deacon is?
Yeah.
A deacon is in the ministry of helps.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what a deacon is.
Yeah.
Philip the deacon, not the apostle, went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ, the Messiah, to the people. And great crowds of people with one accord listened to and heeded what was said by Philip, as they heard him and watched the miracles and wonders which he kept performing from time to time. Okay, he was in the ministry of helps. He was, see, they in other churches, they think deacons are some like people that rule over.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what a deacon is. A deacon is a helper.
Yeah.
Okay, because in, I'll tell you what, it's translated that way in the Greek. Okay. Okay. Now just think what Philip was doing. He was in the ministry of helps. He went to this place. He was performing signs, wonders, and miracles. And it said, and great crowds of people listened in one accord to what he said. Now verse 7. For foul spirits came out of many who were possessed by them, screaming and shouting with a loud voice, and many who were suffering from palsy, which is you're paralyzed, and they were crippled, were restored to health. Healings were going on. But there was a great rejoicing in that city. But there was a man named Simon who had formerly practiced magic arts in the city, to the utter amazement of the Samaritan nation, claiming he himself was an extraordinary and distinguished person. They all paid earnest attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is that exhibition of the power of God, which is called great. And they were attentive and made much of him, because for a long time he amazed, bewildered, and dazzled them with his skill in magic arts. Something else you're going to have to be careful of. Amen? But when they believed the good news of the gospel about the kingdom of God that Philip preached, they were baptized, both men and women. They were baptized in water. Even Simon the sorcerer believed. And after being baptized, I'm skipping some words, he devoted himself constantly to Philip. And seeing signs and miracles of great power which were being performed, he was utterly amazed. Now when the apostles, the special messengers at Jerusalem, heard that the country... Okay, well, wait a minute. We'll get off of that first. Okay, so he had a great ministry. So that means that all of you can go out there and do that same thing. Miracles. Many people were saved. You know what? When the apostles, but not one person received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it says when let's read that. That's where I got to. Now, when the apostles, verse 14, special messengers at Jerusalem heard that the country of Samaria had accepted and welcomed the word of God, they sent Peter and John. And they came down and prayed for them that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit. And he had not yet fallen upon any of them, but they had been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, because they were born again. Then the apostles laid their hands on them one by one, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, you wonder, now, anybody can't bring someone into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about water baptism. I'm talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Anybody can do that. However, Peter and John have more of a ministry in this area at that time. And sometimes some people do. But this passage shows there's an experience following salvation called the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And the new birth, you are born of God, the Spirit of God. But some people say when we are born again, we have all of the Holy Ghost that there is.
No.
Mm-mm.
No way.
Anybody been taught that?
Yes.
Yep. I had it thrown in my face by a father going on a trip to Lincoln. And he says, you know what? I'm filled with the Holy Ghost just as much as you are. And we weren't even talking about the Holy Ghost. He wanted to start something. I said, I really didn't say nothing. I thought, I am not arguing with him. You know, stuff like that. Oh, well. You're also quiet. That's why it's not. It's the. Okay. I'm trying to. It just helps when you respond, because I'm getting like, am I just? Okay. So, these Samaritans were saved or born again, but the apostles didn't seem to think they had all of the Holy Ghost, because they sent Peter and John so they could receive him. Now, God told us in the Great Commission, salvation comes through the preaching of the gospel, the word of God. Because Mark 16 is one of those, and one of the Great Commission. And Mark 16 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes is baptized. You believe first. Shall be saved, but he that does not believe shall be damned. That's the one thing. You don't receive Jesus, that's the one thing, sin, that can't be forgiven. Okay, so Philip preached the good news of the gospel just like you can. You've just got to tell people. Preaching Christ is obeying the Great Commission.
That's right.
So according to what Jesus said in Mark 16, they were saved by the word of God.
Exactly.
Now 1 Peter 1:23 says, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Hey, the seeds you plant out there, some of those die sometimes.
Right.
Corn seeds, some of them die.
Yeah.
That's why they put two of them in.
Now they do.
They put two of them in,
Tom?
Or
what? Two seeds they put
when
in
they plant corn.
Okay. Well, you plant so many per acre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. Boy, do I see it. They're getting closer to the road all the time. No.
I never used to see that. All of them grow.
Yeah, but I mean, don't you put two seeds at each, when they drop it? Yeah, I know, because when I planted corn myself that I ate, I would always put at least two in case one of them didn't work.
Yeah.
Well, when you get born again, there is no corruption to your seed. But see, the word of God is a seed. Do you get that? It's a seed you plant. When you tell people even one little thing, you plant a seed, and that seed can grow. It might even take a month. It might take 2 years.
Yeah.
Might take 10 years. But it can grow.
Amen.
Somehow, we had gotten the word of God somewhere.
Yeah.
Because you cannot be born again unless you have heard some word.
Right.
Okay. So, all right. So. Okay. It's called being born again.
Yeah.
You receive Jesus. And following salvation is an experience called the baptism in the Holy Ghost.
It sure is.
And it's referred to as receiving the Holy Spirit. It's referred to as being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's referred to as being immersed with the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
It's referred to as being endued with power from on high. Now, why couldn't Philip pray for him? We all have our place in God's plan. And God didn't call all of us to minister the same. And he didn't give us all the same gifts or the same anointings.
Come on.
Now, any Christian can lay hands on another believer in faith to receive the baptism. And I said that. But some members of the body of Christ have more of an anointing along this line.
Yeah.
And some have more of an anointing for salvation.
True.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
Some people do. Okay. Acts 8, let's 18 and 19. It says, now, you remember that sorcerer guy?
Yeah.
Okay. However, when Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was imparted through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he brought money and he offered it to him. And he said, grant me also this power and authority in order that anyone on whom I place my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. He offered him money because he thought it was something you could buy. And Peter said to him, destruction overtake your money and you because you imagine you could obtain the free gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is all wrong in God's sight.
Yeah.
It is not straightforward or right or true before God.
Yeah. Come on.
Now, some say, where's the proof that they spoke in tongues?
Uh-huh. I'll show you.
Now, there are three chapters in the book of Acts that there's proof.
Yeah.
And there are three that are not. One of them is when Paul received it.
Yeah.
But he said later, I speak in tongues more than you all.
Yeah.
Now, okay, this is it. Right. What did Simon see?
Come on.
You can't really see the whole, you can't see the Holy Spirit.
No.
He's a spirit. But there must have been physical evidence or a sign.
Yeah.
And you know what? All the evidence points to the sign that the manifestation was speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
And he went, whoo, Simon the sorcerer, he thought, whoa,
that's cool.
Hey, I want to do this too. I want that ability.
Yeah.
He didn't really care about the Holy Ghost. He wanted to show off like he was before with all his magic arts and all that stuff. He wanted to lay hands on people and have them then receive the Holy Spirit. But see, that people are going to ask you this. In certain areas of I honestly, you can tell I hadn't gotten this together because it was just bang, just like that. The Lord says, do this. And I had, didn't think I'd studied to the hilt. Now, Saul's conversion is another one, and I won't keep you much longer. I can tell people are walking out, going to the bathroom, and you know what? I'm 80 years old, and I wish I could sometimes. I'm just telling you, this word is more important. Maybe I'm not the best speaker in the world, but you know what? If you're going to get this, this is for you for the times to come. And I do it with all my heart. Honest to God, I want more than anything for people to receive or to get what they need to get for the coming times. You know what? You can be in a situation and you go, my God, I wish I would have listened. My God, I wish I would have listened. I don't know how to lay hands on people to get them healed. There's nothing here like when the towers came down. You know, but there's going to be worse things that may happen. You know, I'm hoping we're all going to be raptured, but I'll tell you, I've never seen anything like it, even right now. Now, you know what? Paul was another one that you read. And then in Acts 19, it was even 20 years later. He came on people that were born again. And that's proof that you have to have that. They never even heard of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, well, it's getting a little bit late. So, no, that's okay. This is what God is telling me. Now, you know what? These things are important for you to know. For you, can you lead someone into the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Some of you already have. But, well, where was that part?
Praise God.
Oh, I know it was. I got all these notebooks up here. How, you know, do you receive it? I don't even know if I can find it. I accidentally found that this morning. You know what? It's a matter of you wanting it. And I know most of the people in here are filled with the Holy Ghost. But this is something that you're going to you start to pray in tongues a lot. You know what? Start out, because it's going to help you to be led by the Spirit in these times. You know what? We had some protesters here already. Who knows what is going to happen or where you're going to go, where you're going to go, and you're going to be in a situation like that. Amen?
Amen.
And you see, this will get rid of your fear.
Yes, it does.
Too many of people are filled with fear with this whole thing. Look, come on, just rise up like a rebel. If you know what, you know, people are rebellious.
That's right.
Ha, let's be rebellious toward the devil. Come on. Be a rebel towards the devil.
Come on.
Start. Forget that fear junk.
Right.
This is all a political part of it. It is to bring the new world order in and to control you.
Exactly.
I don't want to get into this because I get really wound up with it. It's not what I'm here for. I'm here to preach the word, not to. But you guys, this is a type of control. I'm going to start out little. Pretty soon, that's how Hitler did it. And all your rights will be taken away. Like never before, we need to pray. We are headed towards socialism and communism. And the way they start it is they start riots to destroy cities. the mayor and the mayor of Portland, Oregon. Go ahead, he said. Go ahead, let him.
Yeah.
Yet the mayor in California.
California, same way.
However, California had to quit singing songs.
Yeah.
Then the next week they had to shut their church. They can't even have 10 people in their doors are shut.
That's right.
So the one, yeah, the World Harvest where my grandson is and what my pastor, Nancy. So they have big, a lot of property and they have like a park in the back and they're having church outside.
Wow.
But see, the singing...
It's all lies.
Then you know what? Now he said, and if you have Bible studies in your home yeah. for church, those are banned too. You'll be arrested if yeah. we catch
Better
you doing it. Then the next week he said, and I don't want any church going in a park either.
No way. Yep.
Outside. So I don't know what they're doing. I mean, that's their own property. But this is in California, Marietta, California, where we've gone to World Harvest Church for a lot of conventions. We've been there many, many times, a lot of us. This is California, but yet he encouraged that mayor of the areas there, and there's some sections, I'm not sure, Margaret, you might know, some sections of California, it's a little freer, right? Yeah. But that particular area is not. And besides that, they're enhancing how many people had COVID, too. There is false reporting.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be saying
that. Yeah. Right
there.
There's a lot of families you talk to.
They don't have it. They have something.
There's a lot going on.
Add to it.
The reason I even taught this morning was because of this.
Yeah.
We need to be praying in tongues so we really have discernment so that we're not being deceived.
Yeah.
I see Christians, I see my own family being deceived by this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with them.
Nope.
But I just pray that the deception will stop.
Yeah.
Believe me, you're going to have to be prepared when the election comes.
Yeah.
They ain't going to take this with a grain of salt.
Very important, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, even if you go to the election poll, maybe it's going to be like other countries, and they're going to start let you in. Who knows? They're doing it right now. Wake up, people. Wake up. They're trying to take... we have had the most wonderful freedom of ever. And I know I get into this every single Sunday, practically. But my heart, you don't know, during the week, I lay in my face and just sob in tongues. Because I can tell it's intercession. And I've never had that much of that weeping and that it's groaning.
Yeah.
Never, ever had that much.
No.
I just want to, you know. And it's, you're birthing something when you do that. But we need help. Don't just take this light. Oh, it's all going to be okay. All the prophets said, Trump's going to get it. And we get, you know what? He's not if you don't.
Pray.
Prophecy doesn't work unless you pray.
That's right.
But you need to pray in tongues. Because, see, sometimes we know not how to pray.
Exactly.
You have gone as far as you can with the...
Scripture.
Yeah, with scripture and with just saying what you can say. And then you need to pray in tongues because it is the perfect prayer that will actually do something.
Amen.
Well, I guess I can't say all of this. And not ask if there's anyone who would like to receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And I'm just going to ask you that. Let's all just bow our heads. And in order to even have that, you need to be born again. And I know a lot of people here are filled with the Holy Ghost. Our prayer meetings are getting deeper and deeper. I can see that, can't you, those of you who pray on, oh my gosh. They're getting deep. I've never encountered what they're going. And God is using us. Yeah, we might be a little church that nobody thinks we know nothing. But you know what? The power, and we've even been told that. We're full of power for this area. Because of the Holy Ghost, not because we're some big deal. We ain't nothing. We're yielded vessels, yielded servants for it. So I'm just going to ask that again. If anybody would want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm just going to ask you to quickly raise your hand. Just quickly raise your hand. Or I can do it in private with you too. I've done many, many people in private, even in my office, who are filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And it's not some weird thing. It is what God wanted for all the churches. He wanted there to be one church and not denominations. It went way off. But see, that is the thing. Why are you so enthusiastic about that? Because that's what gives it to you, is the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Spirit. It makes you more bold. Well, I'm just going to give one more. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, raise your hand. You know, this is something you can do by yourself even. Okay. Ooh, she's giving me a way out.
That's what the devil wants.
Yep. No, not necessarily. That they can do it. I was at home, but I was really excited about being born again. And I was not born again very long, only 1 week. I mean, only 1 month. And or not even. And I was taking a bubble bath. Had four little kids then. And locked the bathroom door, and I was singing to God. I was just going, I was singing how we did Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you do that, you're stirring your spirit up like you're whipping cream. And it's getting... And see, I didn't know that then. But I just had a real heart for God. That was still in my denomination. And all of a sudden, and I was singing. From preaching all these years, my voice has gotten, but I used to sing a lot. And I'd sing real high in the Holy Ghost way back. Because I was in choirs and everything else. But all of a sudden I started singing these weird, this weird language. And I had, nobody had ever told me about the Holy Ghost. Nobody told me one thing about being filled with the Spirit. Never had any teaching on it. So it was God himself who did it. Because he knew what I was headed for. And then 2 weeks later, Elsie Popkin, we went to Women's Glow, and she said, you know, there's more you can receive after you get born again. And she said, you receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I went, that's what I did in the bathtub, I bet. I never told her, though, that. I never told anybody because it was so sacred to me. Because I could feel my hands were buzzing. They were up in the air. They were buzzing, and they felt like they were full of cotton candy. It wasn't sticky, though. But just filled. And it was just like, oh, God. I mean, it was an experience. And... And she gave me a ride home for some reason. I don't know why I didn't have the car. But she kept talking and talking and talking. I couldn't wait till she left because I thought, if I can sing in them, I can talk in them. Yeah. And as soon as she left, I went, I did it. I mean, I was talking in them and I haven't stopped. But see, you can live in the world. This is all I'm saying.
Sure.
You need to have, and you can have a blast.
Yeah.
Like we burst into laughter this morning. We burst into laughter a lot of times. I've never had so much fun since I'm a Christian, but we stir ourselves up with the Word. We still ourselves up with praying in the Holy Ghost by ourselves, or just being gathering together and doing things. And you know, like the prayer meeting, I feel like I've been in a church service almost every time we come to prayer. I do. I feel like I've just been in a church service, because we sing also to worship God a long time. To prepare, the singing is to prepare you for all of these things, but you have to stir yourself up. I live in the world, and I don't act like some goofball, like some flake. That's one thing, you can't be flaky with this stuff. But see, if you're really of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be real in the heart and not be faking it. I've seen the second somebody fakes something, because you pray in the Spirit and do all that, you pick that up in 2 seconds. That's why I can understand what this whole thing is with COVID. COVID is real, but it's a plot. There's been worse viruses. You can't be 80 years old and not have seen a lot of this stuff. A lot of them. You get, you know, just it said there will be great deception in the last days. Do not let that be you as a Christian. Please. But that's why you get into the Word. You study the Word. You meditate on the Word. You can just take one scripture. Like, take a healing scripture if you need to be healed. You know, I've gotten into so many of these other things that I have tons of stuff on healing, too. And I was really into it. And we're going to get back into it because we need to. I don't know. All I can do is tell you. I know I was reading from notes, and sometimes that gets kind of boring. But what I was trying to prove, what I'm talking about, I have been refuted. I've been persecuted. Our neighbor guy, he was going to a Bible college in Omaha. He says, I would like to take you out for lunch. I mean, it probably didn't look good. Ken was like, I was here, two married people going out to lunch. But he said, I just think you're such a nice person. And he said, and I know that you speak in tongues now. And he said, it's of the devil, you know, to speak in tongues. And he said, it's because I love you as a Christian. That, and I was going, what? And I said, by that, it was way too late. Nobody would have talked me out of that. But at that Bible college that was in Omaha, they had to sign a paper saying, I will never speak in tongues. Because if they didn't, they would not be accepted. And if they ever caught them, they were out.
There's a church here.
For church. Yep. But they actually had to sign something. Okay. Another lady from another denomination that was speaking in tongues in this town, she said, oh, you're the only one that has helped me with my marriage. And then I've told you this one before, if some of you heard it. But then, you know, 3 weeks later, she calls me and she said, you know, I just love you so much, and you helped me so much with my marriage. And she said, but I know you speak in tongues. And she says, you know, that's of the devil. And I was thinking, why would she have me counselor if that was of the devil, if I'm of the devil? Well, you heard what I said. with it's like the new wineskin. Inside of your heart, you got to prepare it. And your sins have to be washed away by the blood. And by the way, if you've got YouTube on your phones and everywhere else, computers, you go to Keith Moore when he was at the tent revival. And he spoke on, we showed it on Wednesday night, about there is no condemnation to those. Sometimes some of us need that. There is no condemnation. It's the condemnation of the devil that stops us. Stops us from doing what we're supposed to do. Stops us from being bold. Can't you see? See, I've got another sermon here about how you handle opposition.
There it is right there. Right.
See, you can just go, poor me. And yeah. I've been there. That's why I know it.
Yeah.
Mom, devil loves it.
You can just feel so sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and the enemy will bring that. And that's so you can't help anybody.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
And he'll even attack you with the weak places.
Yeah.
Like Keith Moore always says, a boxer. You know what? He was like into karate. Huge. And he, you know, he said, well, in boxing, and they hit him. He had a broken rib, right?
Hit him right here.
Yeah, hit him right there.
And he started to double up.
Yeah, he started to double.
Wait a minute.
What?
And he started smiling at the guy, and the guy thought, I hit you with everything I can. It's the same with the devil. He's doing it. He finds
okay.
a weak place.
Okay, he'll find a weak place.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
And I know my weak places.
Yeah.
My weak place might not be as like your weak place.
Yeah.
And so don't condemn me for being a baby in that place either. I've heard people say, well, she's getting better. Well, okay, you know what? Stop it. Maybe you've got things that you are weak and I'm not weak in him because I've seen it.
Yeah.
You know what? It could be totally different. Do you see what I mean? Quit judging each other. Quit criticizing each other. Quit it. You're going to have to in these last days. It's really getting important. Anyway, if you go in the shower, that's a good place to get the filling. I was in the bathtub. Now, as long as you're born again,
come on.
You've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Yep.
Here's another thing. All the time I was in church, I knew Jesus as Savior because I knew he died on the cross.
Yeah.
I didn't really know why.
Yeah.
I know he had a lot of torment, a lot of torture. Because he had all those your sins on him.
Yeah.
Every time you committed a
sickness.
Sin, each person, and all your sickness.
Yeah.
But where was I with that? Anyway. Yeah, everybody's got a weak place. Try to get that weak place stronger.
Yeah.
And don't even. You know what?
Oh.
How I read Psalm 23?
Yes.
There's familiar spirits working for the enemy.
Yeah.
There's also angels right here in that spirit realm.
That's right.
This stuff is real.
You don't bow, you won't
and
bow.
You know what? The devil is watching your weak place.
Yes, he is.
He'll deliberately try to make stuff happen. You know, maybe you're easily hurt, easily offended.
Yeah.
And so he'll use that.
Got it.
But some people aren't, but they've got a different weak place. So he'll attack them in that area. So all you got is your mind on yourself, 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 yourself. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of helping other people.
Right.
It's me, 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 me. Or maybe it's weakness and frailty in the body.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm just going to tell you this one thing that, you know, Where it says Matthew 8:17, it says he took our infirmity and bore our sicknesses. One day I went, doom, light bulb went off up here. And I went, how come he made a difference between the two words? Why did he say he took my infirmity and bore my sickness? I thought they were the same thing. So I looked up infirmity and guess what it said?
Yeah.
It said weaknesses due to older age.
Yeah. Amen.
And he knew stuff would start to go wrong with your body in older age.
Yeah.
So he said, I took it.
Yeah.
I took your infirmities and I bore your sicknesses.
That's right.
For the little 1-month-old baby who might get sick.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you're older, take that scripture.
Betcha.
He took it.
He took it away.
So why should I? You don't. Well, gosh, when you're that age, you know you're going to start to do. You don't have to.
No, you don't.
No.
No, you don't.
Because he wants to use us in the earth.
Yeah. Amen.
harvest.
No.
The harvest is coming in. Got
to
be ready.
We got to have for the harvest. Okay, amen. Back to the Holy Ghost. Okay, and I'll let you go. You know, we need some kind of a good song at the end, so
yeah.
Think of something. Okay. Anyway, or you think of something. You can say, you know, as long as you're born again. And this is another thing, though. Don't be in unforgiveness.
That's it right there.
And all you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me for not forgiving that person.
Come on.
And you say, I do it as an act of my will in faith.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference how bad you feel about that person.
No.
You do it in faith. Now get that straight. Because I've told people that over and over and over, and they still go by their feelings.
Well,
it took me 3 years to forgive them.
Uh-huh.
No.
That's why you're sick, too.
They didn't
want to. No. You just, you know what? Say, God, I surrender all. Do you really mean it? See, be real.
Real.
You can sing all the songs you want. You can bawl. You can act. Oh, like this. Like, I know I'm pretty display with them, but you know what? But don't be a fake.
No way.
Because when the rubber meets the road, do what you're singing. Do what you're saying. Do what the word says.
But
think about yourself. And don't always be looking at other people. Well, they do that wrong. They do that wrong. I hear that too. Hey, maybe you're doing it wrong. The very thing it says in Romans that you accuse the other one, you're doing it, and you are too stupid to notice it.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
That's what the devil uses.
Right? Go, you know what? Say, okay, God, forgive me if I have any unforgiveness toward anyone.
Yeah.
And as an act of my will and faith, I forgive them.
Yeah.
And I'm asking you to take away my bad feelings. Because you said, 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sins, you are faithful, you are just to forgive me and cleanse me. I receive your forgiveness, I receive your cleansing, and I receive my restoration back to righteousness.
Yeah.
Something like that, you got to say.
Amen.
And then say, Lord, I desire with all my heart to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And then, this is another thing, you have got to open your mouth. It said he filled them with utterances as the Spirit filled them. But see, just like faith acts to receive tongues also. Well, I don't want to be some dork out there. You know what? This is another thing. You can control it.
Yes, you can.
Some of the Pentecostal churches, they said, you gotta work yourself up. That's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
I can be in the grocery store and I can just start speaking in tongues. I can right now. And I can turn it off right now, too. You're not being flaky with it either.
That's right.
I just want to say, I can't. Don't be hypocritical. Don't be unreal. Don't be just doing something because, they might get impressed by me.
Come on.
Oh, it just gets me. I can't stand that. Just telling you my heart, honest to God.
Amen.
I'm revealing my heart to you.
Amen.
And ask him to fill you.
Yeah.
But you got to start moving your mouth.
Yes, you do.
One of the things the devil does right away.
Come on.
He says, that's of the devil. He tells him that's of him.
That's,
I mean, you don't know it's the devil, but he'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Oh, this is stupid. It's gibberish. It's baby talk. No, it isn't.
Right.
That is it.
Yeah.
You got to say something.
Right.
You got to act on it.
Yeah. Amen.
You start out moving your tongue, saying something.
Yeah.
Even as blah 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 blah. Yeah, might sound funny, but you start it, and it okay, 1% at a time. It develops. It will develop if you keep it up.
Right.
It will develop.
Amen.
Amen. And that's all you got to do. He'll fill you. Because it is a vital key in these last days. Okay. Sorry. Seems like it's getting that way every Sunday. But you know what? There's things we need to tell you. There's things that need to be done in these last days to prepare yourselves. Amen. Okay, you got something?